Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today we're going to be talking about the power of faith, walking by faith rather, and not by sight. Let's see, everybody got a paper?
Yeah, good, good.
All right. Let's open up in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the chance to gather here in your presence. Lord, we pray, God, as the word comes forth, God, that we'll be encouraged and learn more about you, God, as we go forth. I pray your presence will be felt here, God, manifested, Lord, that there will be a unity, God, in love of the Spirit, Lord. I pray your presence will just talk to our hearts and our minds. We pray you'll be with us. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise God. Praise God. So this is my first time teaching this type of class, so I haven't typically seen the format, but I'm just going to go with it. Y'all can pray for me. All right. Let's see. How are we doing on the... the slides.
We're trying.
Okay. I have some really cool slides. If we don't get them, just use your imagination. But the pretty cool slides here. Let's look here. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to have to kind of adapt the way I do this. Everyone, look at your neighbor's eye. All right. Look at your neighbor's eye. All right. Here's my question for you. Look deeply into your neighbor's eye. Not too deep. They might not like it. Yeah. If it's too deep, it better be your spouse. The eye. I'm going to kind of open up. Who believes there's an old saying or adage that says the eye is the window to the soul? Who's ever heard that? Yeah. Who believes that? Yeah. Sometimes, maybe. I don't know if it's true. I don't know. I know sometimes at my business, I'll at my gold store and I'll negotiate and I'll offer somebody a price and they'll just start looking me in the eye. I'm trying not to sweat. Like, they offer them a good enough price, you know. But yeah, there's something about the eye. Some interesting things. I'm going to read a story from the book of Mark. I have different excerpts I'm going to use. Mark chapter 8, verse 23 through 25. It says, "And he took the blind man by the hand." This is the New Testament where Jesus is here. "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught." What would you all do if someone spit in your eyes? They better be in the spirit. They better know what they're doing. I need to pray, God. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees. I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and it made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. I had to wear my glasses today, by the way. I don't usually wear them, but I noticed my notes. I have to keep increasing the font size. I could do it at 12. Now I'm like 16. Keeps going up. But this man was blind and he got half his healing, but only half the world seemed clear. It was still blurry and obscure. You have that picture of the, yes. Who's ever gone to the eye doctor and look like that? It's been worse. Who misses these days? But this man, everything became clear. And I believe there's more to the story that can be learned beneath the surface. So many times, obviously our natural eyes may struggle, but sometimes our spiritual eyes are not always clear. Sometimes we look at things in the spirit, what's going on the other side, and it's hard to make out what God is doing. And so we need God to help things become clear. Because of this man's faith in the natural, his natural eyes receive the full miracle. His natural eyes receive the full miracle. But our spiritual eye becomes clear as we stretch our faith. There is another side to things that the world doesn't see. There's things like demons, angels, spirits. I've noticed people in the world a lot of times, or you'll ask them if they believe in angels, and they'll say, praise God, there's angels all over. I have a guardian angel. You have a guardian angel. And you say, oh, there's demons too. I don't want to hear about all that. You know, but there's a good and a bad side. There's things that are going on that we always can't see with our natural eyes. Our natural eyes. I also find it interesting that a lot of people, when they're dying, there's maybe not everyone has this experience, but people who are on their deathbed oftentimes say, oh, I see Jesus, or I see a bright light, or I see something as their body's beginning to let go. They're seeing something on the other side. Or sometimes they're... My father told a story once. Let's see if I can remember. He had a heart attack. And he claims, when he had that heart attack, that he saw himself looking down on his body. And he survived. But people have these experiences on the other side. And we cannot always rely on what we believe. When we believe God, we can't always rely on what we're seeing. If we rely just on what we're seeing with our natural eyes all the time, we wouldn't have a lot of faith. We wouldn't have a lot of faith because we're not trusting in God. We can't just go on the things that we see. There's also another interesting passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Who knows what this means? Any thoughts on it? Looking through a glass darkly. Initially, I kind of looked at it like looking at... my mind, I was picturing like a wine bottle, honestly. Like looking through it, it's kind of hard to obscure. But when I looked it up, when it says glass here, when I researched it, it says in ancient times, glass referred to a polished piece of metal that was polished. Real shine, or shine if they could get it. But yet, back then, it was still obscured. It was still hard to see. And that is how it is sometimes when we're praying and we don't see the whole picture, you know. We don't see everything that's going on. And I believe, this is Eric Kennedy, I believe when you're praying, you start walking in the Spirit, that obscure image becomes a little more clear. But when we leave this world and we go to heaven, it's going to be like you're looking face to face. It's all going to be clear. I see these preachers that come in and they'll say, I feel like God is calling you to, you have something going with your family, but God's going to take care of it. And they see in part. They see in the Spirit in part, but they might not have all the details. They might have all the details. And that's how it is. Sometimes our vision spiritually, we see in part. So what do? You walk in faith. You might not see the end from the beginning, but you just walk in faith anyhow. You walk in faith anyhow. Spiritual eyes. We can't predicate on our faith by just our natural eyes. The natural eyes are limited. Even though the natural eye hasn't seen it yet, I still believe. You may have to stretch your faith for your miracle. You may come up and you say, I don't have my healing yet, but I'm walking by faith. I'm believing. I'm still believing for my miracle. Well, you've been up. This is the second time you've been up here to pray. I'm still believing, though. I'm still coming up. You may have to stretch your faith a little bit more. I haven't got the Holy Ghost. I've been in church for 3-4 months or maybe a year. What's wrong with me? You know what? Just keep stretching your faith. Don't give up just on what you're seeing. God has a plan for your life. Not relying on what you see. So many times you read in the Bible people's miracles, but they had to stretch their faith. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see. Jesus is walking by and he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's stretching his faith right there. You don't cry out for something you don't believe. Why would you do that? If he didn't believe it, he would just go on. But no, he realized we stretch our faith. We walk by faith. Is this okay? Okay, good, good, good. I had a Pastor Barker here. It's funny. He Your name is Pastor Barker. He was funny. He made a joke. He said, I don't mind you all looking at your watch. He said, but don't start tapping it. This is broke. stretching our faith. What is faith? One preacher I heard said, faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. You pay it in faith. You move it. It moves in faith. Not just relying on just what you hear with your natural ears or see with your natural eyes. We must believe. We must walk in faith. Mark 5:36. Jesus says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. And when you do that, you can start walking in a different dimension, a dimension that the world doesn't understand. Because you're trusting in God. You're having faith in God. All hell and high water can be breaking loose in your life. You could be in the middle of a storm and people are like, where are you finding this peace? How do you have such peace? And you say, I trust in God. I trust in God. That's why the Bible talks about the peace that surpasseth our understanding, because our finite, limited minds would be freaking out, right? Who's ever seen those type of people? It's just like everything's going crazy and you're like, how are you calm? And they say, God's got a plan. God's got a plan for my life. We walk in faith. We walk in faith. We believe in faith. The power of walking by faith, not by sight. I believe God is a God of action. When you read this word, it says walk. Walk is a verb. Walk is a verb. It's an action. When you walk, you are moving forward. You're going towards something. Listen to this. Talking about the word being a God of action. Listen to this. Who's heard, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God? Right? And the Word was God. Listen to this. In Spanish, it reads, en el principio era el verbo, y el verbo era con Dios, y el verbo era Dios. En el principio era el verbo. In the Spanish version, it literally says, in the beginning was the verb. In the beginning was the verb, and the verb was God. We put action with our faith. We need to live out our faith in action. How we think, how we live our lives. Oh, has our faith ever been challenged? I'm sure there's been times. I'm like, why am I breathing heavy? But you go to God. This isn't in my notes. I'll tell you a story. I never believed in panic attacks, really, for a long time. I hear people say panic attacks. What are you talking about? I didn't get it. Until I had one. I was in college. I had a rough semester. I had a lot going on. My grades were whew. And I was sitting in class and it occurred to me, I was surrounded. I was like, well, they put me on probation for that semester. And if I don't pass this class or if I don't pull this up, I'm kicked out. And I was sitting there. All these thoughts are going through my head right in the middle of his like lecture talking about Abraham Lincoln, whatever. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, my heart starts racing. The room feels like it's throbbing. And I mean, I just like, what is going on? And so I need to step in the restroom. So I went to the restroom outside and I went to the hallway. And I'm like, God, what are you going to do? God, just take care of this. Jesus, just take care of this. Just take care of this. And it wasn't going away. It wasn't going away. Jesus, just do something, please. Just take care. I'm beginning to get a little more intense, right? So I'm kind of like a little corridor. And I'm thinking, they're going to think I'm nuts if they walk through here, probably some people. But I'm praying anyways because I'm kind of desperate, right? And I'm like, God, just take this. God, do something. Do something. And in that moment, I felt like God was telling me, speak to it. Speak to it. I said, God, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak to the anxiety in Jesus' name. I rebuke the anxiety. I come against the anxiety. I come against any storm here. I speak to the storm. I speak calmness. And I start speaking. And all of a sudden, what wasn't moving went, and my heart just calmed down. And I felt this peace come over me. And so we do go through things, right? I don't expect that we don't go through things. We all go through things. There's things that are going on in y'all's lives that are quite different maybe than I'm going through. But I can tell you this, Jesus is always the answer. Always the answer. Walking by faith. Sometimes we have to catch up, right, to what God's wanting to do. But we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We have to walk with action in our steps. Thanks. Sorry. I'm up here right now by faith. We walk in faith, we're moving forward. I'm going to talk about some men in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read this. You guys can just kind of listen to this. Now faith, not tomorrow faith. Now faith, right? Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? You might be going through them. You're not seeing it yet, but it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, I love this, but without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I'm going to lie. I'm going to tell on myself, okay? I'm going to tell on myself. I have gone to prayer before, and I've just not believed before. I don't know, maybe Brother Arnold, I remember Jeff Arnold, he always said, oh, you're all spiritual. I'm sure y'all don't deal with that, but you can pray for me. No, but I've gone to prayer, and I'm like, God, I just touched this sister. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just going through the motions, right? But he says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. You're not going to please him if you're just going through the motions. God wants us to believe in here. God wants us to believe in here. We walk by faith to please him. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet. People probably thought he was crazy, by the way. You know, it didn't rain on the earth, by the way. I don't know if y'all know that. It didn't rain on the earth in Noah's day. Give scripture for that if you want to know it, but it didn't rain. So maybe there were ponds or rivers, I don't know, but or something, but it didn't rain. So here's Noah talking about, I'm building this ark right here on this piece of land. Oh, by the way, water's going to come from the sky. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They probably thought he was a little one flew over the cuckoo's nest, right? Until it happened. His faith became evident. Water started dripping. Drip, 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 drip. All of a sudden, where's Noah? Where's that crazy old man? Or whatever they were thinking, right? And they're probably running to the ark, right? As people run to the church today, right? They're run to the ark. He walked by faith, and it pleased God. It said, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. By faith now, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And I could go on and on. It talks about Abraham leaving his country by faith. God just said, go. And he's like, okay, God. Let's think about this here. I got a mortgage on my house. I got a business. I got a church here, right? And what do you do when God says, go? You're like, oh, my kids are in the school. He just, go. He didn't even tell him where he was going. He said, I'll show you where you're going. I mean, that's faith. I mean, if I did that, I'd probably have some people in my family like, what are you doing? Just at least tell me where you're going, son. Where are you going, brother? Where are you going? I'm like, I have no idea.
That was us.
Amen.
It really was. Our family thought we were crazy. They were like, where are you going? You don't know. You're putting your house up for sale. You resign your church, and you don't know where you're going.
Walking by faith. Walking by faith. Awesome.
We knew you were coming.
By faith. 1 Peter 3:20 talks about Noah and kind of reiterates some of this. Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents. Moses' parents put him in the river just by faith. We're going to discuss some different people in history that had faith. Now, this is also to encourage you all. Okay? I don't know. I'll just go and say, for anybody that's feeling a little judgy, I don't know every little theological detail of what they believe. But I will tell you, they did step out on faith, some of these men. Okay? They did step out on faith. And that's what we're going to focus on. But before, let me just start with this. Not just being willing to live for your faith, but being willing to die for your faith. And if you all guys follow the media, there's a lot going on. People, but being willing to die for what it is you believe. Peter crucified upside down in Rome, church history reports. In Rome, at his request, Peter crucified upside down as he felt unworthy to die in the same way as Jesus. Andrew was crucified diagonally on an X-shaped cross in Greece after preaching the gospel. James executed with the sword in Judea. Thomas speared to death in India after proclaiming Jesus as God. Matthew was executed with the sword in Ethiopia for condemning the king's actions. James thrown in a temple, thrown from a temple in Jerusalem. Jude, Simon, it just goes on and on and on. These men who are willing to die for their faith. I've talked to the youth about this, and I believe that I would die for my faith. But when you're looking down, I'm not allowed to say the word gun in church. When you look at down a gun, right, you got to think, what are you going to do? Right? What are you going to do? Where's your faith? And that's where we have to be rooted and grounded when we walk by faith. Rooted and grounded when we walk by faith. Different men in history. Let's talk about the Reformation. I'm going to give you all some information. Who knows who Martin Luther is? Martin Luther, 1, 2, 3. Martin Luther. Somebody tell me who Martin Luther was, just like basic.
He took on the Catholic Church.
And the grievances against the church. Yes, he nailed them on the floor.
Yes, yes. So in this point in history, I believe the true, like the one God apostolic church was around, okay? But the majority of the areas, like especially around Germany and through Europe and different places, the Catholic Church kind of ruled the roost. Yep. They were like, yeah, it was like, you're not Catholic? Well, where you're at, that might be illegal in the area you're in. Illegal. And within that time, there was a man named Martin Luther that was a monk. He actually was an attorney originally, but he became a monk. And this man, Martin Luther, had some problems with what he was seeing going on with the Catholic Church. Things he didn't think was right. The Catholic Church, and you can study church history, was when they had services, they were having it all in Latin. So you were sitting in a church. It's like me speaking Spanish right now. Hola, yo quiero, you know. You'd be like, I don't have a clue what I'm saying. They're just sitting in this church and it's all in Latin, right? And most people couldn't speak Latin. And you weren't even allowed to, like, own, like, to learn to read. You weren't allowed to read the Bible in Latin. Like, it wasn't allowed because it was just for the priest. And the priests were saying things like, oh, you know, you want your sins forgiven. Okay, this is how much it's going to cost you. Pay me this much money, and then you can pay to get baptized. And guess what? When you go to this is what they believe, you know, this purgatory place, maybe you won't be in there as long and all this, just, but you have to pay us money. People were scared to death. They were scared to death, like, I don't want to go. I don't want to suffer. Okay, here, honey, I don't care if you save this for a year. Just give it to them. You know what I mean? And they're paying. And the priests are probably like, you know. And nobody could question because who spoke Latin? Who could say any different? Martin Luther did. He went up to the door of the Catholic Church and posted something called his 95 Theses and came against the indulgences of the Catholic Church. This is almost like he signed a death warrant. He's putting something up and it was like heresy. How dare you, you know, this giant, the Catholic Church, how dare you go against this giant, the Catholic Church? He stepped down on faith, though. He was willing to risk his life for what he believed was truth. Willing to be uncomfortable, to walk by faith. Just imagine The Catholic Church had this religious monopoly, and he comes up against it. Just imagine. Being willing to stand up for what's true, being willing to stand up for your faith. Are we willing to speak up because of our faith? I've asked myself literally, like I said, the past 2 weeks this. Like literally the past 2 weeks, I've been thinking about this. I've been like, when somebody asks me about church or brings up church, I thought to myself, do I say, yeah, I believe in the Bible. Yeah, I believe it. Or am I like, absolutely. God's my Savior. You know, God can change your life. I start thinking, what is my response? You know, am I, you know, we all say, I'm not ashamed, but I started thinking like, well, am I acting that way? I hope not. Self-reflection. The Bible says, any man thinks he stands, let him think he lifts his fall. I'm examining myself in the faith. I'm wondering this. Are we walking by faith boldly? Are we willing to share the gospel? To put your faith in action. That's what Martin Luther did. And after Martin Luther did this, guess what happened? People started leaving the Catholic Church. Martin Luther translated a Bible into German, and they could, so people could read it. I'm sure that wasn't very popular for some, the Catholic Church. And then they came out with the press, the Gutenberg Bible. Yeah, started printing it out. And all of a sudden, people started breaking up into these other denominations and whatnot. So, but the point is, somebody stood up for what wasn't right. He nailed it to the church. Nailed it to the church. He walked by faith. He didn't let fear dominate him. Smith Wigglesworth. This is, oh, John G. Lake. Just kidding. Pick one. actually, I like Smith Wigglesworth. There's that guy. Smith Wigglesworth. This is such an interesting person. He was a very fastidious man. Very meticulous. Very serious about the Word of God. Here's where I have to talk to an elder, and they're just, there's those certain elders that are just like super serious. Like, but he was a faith preacher. Okay? He was a faith preacher. And I'll tell you the story. I remember hearing the story about him. I'm going to literally just almost verbatim tell you how I heard about it. It's so amazing. This is just to encourage y'all. He saw a lot, there were lots of miracles under his ministry. Let's see if I can remember how this goes. It was London in the late 1800s, I believe it was. It's a cold, foggy morning. There was a knock at the door. He opened the door. There was Lester Summerall sitting outside. Smith Wigglesworth said, "What's that in your hand, Summerall?" He said, "It's a newspaper, sir." He said, "You'll have to leave that outside. We only allow the Word of God in this home." He's, "Come with me. I'll show you my routine day in and day out." So he follows him down to his prayer area. He said, "We're going to pray for 30 minutes that we may receive some revelation for hurting humanity. We're going to read the Word for 30 minutes. I'm going to pray 30 minutes. Read the Word 30 minutes. Pray 30 minutes. Maybe like 11:30, 12 o'clock, we'll go to lunch. Come back, read the Word 30 minutes. Pray 30 minutes. I can't say I've ever done that, by the way. But that's what he did. This is my routine day in, day out. Story goes that one day, Smith Wigglesworth walked into a funeral home, saw the family, said, being led by the Spirit, said, "Would you please step outside for just a moment?" So the family stepped outside. I don't know if the door was open or not. He went over to the man and he said, "I command you to live." And the man just sat there. He picked him up, put him up against the wall, and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to live." The man fell down with a cold thud. A lot of us probably would have stopped there, but a lot of us might have a lot to learn about faith, myself included. He leaned over and he said, "I told you once, and I told you twice, but I shall not tell you after this third time. I command you in Jesus' name to live." And shook the man. And the man coughed. Not once, but I believe it's 14 documented times by the secular press, Smith Wigglesworth was used to help raise the dead. And you say, "Well, I've never seen that before. Have you ever asked?" I was excited your husband prayed for that man. Were you thinking that? Yeah. Once again, I'm just talking about faith here. I don't know all this theological. I'm just talking about faith. That's what I want you all to understand. Faith. Stepping out on faith. Walking in faith. This guy, John G. Lake, was a Canadian-American leader in the early Pentecostal movement that began in the early 20th century and is known as a faith missionary. He went to South Africa. And with Thomas Hesmalchach, co-founder in the Apostolic Faith Mission of South Africa. There was a lot going on in the early 1900s. Read Azusa Street. There was a lot going on. He went to South Africa. He made the comment, I want my heart buried in Africa. Because he had such a love for the African people. And while he was serving during the plague outbreak in South Africa between 1910 and 1913, Lake was helping bury the dead and care for the sick. It's not a job I'd probably want to sign up for, by the way. There's a plague going on. We all know about. I'm not going to say the word. You all know. But a British doctor and a medical team reportedly asked him why he was not getting sick, and even though others were dying from the exposure. Lake's attitude, his attitude, he said, and he replied, quote, the law of the spirit of life in Christ, the life of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:12. So the scientists asked and requested, they took some foam or froth from the lungs of a dead person, and they put it in his hand with a microscope. His hand. And as they put the microscope in, they observe the germs die almost immediately in his hand. I don't know, maybe that doesn't happen for everyone, but he was walking in a really deep realm. He walked by faith. Billy Cole. I love Billy Cole. Billy Cole's awesome. Who's ever heard of Billy Cole? Okay, listen, this, if you have a chance, go on YouTube and type in Billy Cole. He actually has lessons. They're really good. It has when you look for it, it has a blue screen behind him, like the old 70s or 80s blue background, and he's there, and he gives lessons, and he talks about his experience walking for God. He was a missionary to Thailand. He spoke Thai. Thai, that's it? Is it just called Thai? Thai. There's a story of a lady named Sister Barnes. This is actually on video too, where it took place in Ravenswood, West Virginia. This is during Billy Cole and Shirley Cole's early ministry, and they were establishing a church there. What happened was Sister Barnes, a woman in that church who had been baptized in Jesus' name and had received the Holy Ghost, was reportedly dying. A doctor had even come and closed her eyes and covered her with a sheet. People believed that she had passed away. But Billy's response when he got there, despite what seemed like the end, Billy Cole believed God had promised a healing. So he gets there and the woman's already dead. He didn't get there in time. So it appeared. He and the others rushed to her house, and he prayed for her. He prayed for her. Initially, nothing happened. Right? Initially, nothing happened. Even when he prayed louder. Who's ever done that? It's not happening. Well, I'm going to pray louder. Shouldn't get the Holy Ghost like an hour later. Get the Holy Ghost. You pray louder sometimes. Like, you pray louder. Eventually, in the surge of his faith, he reportedly was getting angry that it wasn't happening. Like, God, why is it? I came here. You told me to come here. I'm praying. It's not happening. He was actually getting angry, it says here. He shouted, Sister Barnes, get up. And at that moment, she sat straight up in the bed and was healed. And as I recall, I think she wanted to eat something after that. Just like that. Because he listened to what the Spirit, he was walking by faith, not by sight. What would have happened if he walked by sight? He would have walked in there and bit. Guys, I guess I'm too late. I thought God spoke to me. Let's go to Wendy's. But he didn't walk by sight. He didn't rely on what he was seeing. And those kind of things might seem like foolishness to the world. They might seem idiotic to the world. But can I tell you, my God moves in a realm that the world doesn't move in. There is a realm where it doesn't make sense to the world. The doctor had already declared her dead, but after she set up, she was restored. And the event reportedly caused a strong spiritual response. For example, Reverend Zegler from the former United Brethren pastor present there fell on his face when she came up. Let me check my time here. Okay, I got it. This doesn't have to just be stories. You all don't have to be missionaries to Thailand. You don't have to be missionaries to Wanatutu or whatever place in the world, right? Your mission field while you're here can be your workplace. This is going into practical application here, but it can be your workplace. Trusting God, trusting God. I've seen it, and God will surprise you to what He'll do. I have been in services. I've been like, sometimes I'll pray for people. I'll just walk around. Like, I pray for you. But sometimes it's like, God said, go over there. And I'm like, wow, I'm feeling strongly. And then maybe I'm human. I'll be like, no. And then it'll keep bugging me. Okay. And I'll go over there. And God knew exactly what He's doing. Remember Felicia at our old church? The church we used to go. Felicia. She walked in to the middle of service. She was back there about three rows back. And she was like 20 minutes late. She had some gum in her mouth. She was there. Her kid was there. And I felt like God said, go pray for her. And I was like, I ain't praying. God, can we talk about this? You know, I mean, because, you know, I'm like, she is not here. And there have been times I did what I was supposed to, and there's been times maybe I didn't. And that one I did not. And she's there. And I kind of look over. Maybe I saw Rach or something. And then about 2 or 3 minutes later, I look up. And she's up front, and she's going, all the ladies are praying for her, tears are coming down. I'm like, we rely too much on our eyes sometimes. God knows what's going on. We're walking. We're walking by faith. It doesn't make sense. Why are you doing that? I just believe. Don't do that. I'm doing it anyways. I'm just trusting in God. Trusting in God anyhow. Trusting in God anyhow. God will surprise you. I remember one time I was at a church. I went with a friend, some church up in Elizabeth, and I said, I'll go with you. I didn't know much about this church. And I'm there in this church service. This doesn't happen every day for me. Maybe for you guys, stuff like this, but me, not every day. And I was sitting there, and I was in the church, and everybody starts worshiping, and this guy was beside me. And I said, okay. Everybody pray, pastor say, everyone just pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. And I go, okay, all right. You're somebody. Here we go. And I start praying. And as I was praying, I saw a house. Just saw a house. I just could see it. My spiritual eyes, right? Not my natural. I see this house. And I'm like, God, you know, touch His family. You know, let me be blessed. And then I saw this house. I'm like, okay. And so I said, okay, doesn't make sense to me. God, touch this man's house. Touch this man's house from the chimney to the foundation. Touch this house with the garage and whatever I prayed. I came here. I just started praying for this man's house. I'm like, God, he's going to think I'm crazy. I'm praying for his house. And I'm like, okay. And then there was after service, I told somebody I was with, I said, hey, do you enjoy the service? Yeah, I pray for somebody. I saw some guys. I can talk to this guy like this. That's how he goes. You are kidding me. Really dramatic guy, right? You are kidding me. You've got to tell the pastor. I'm like, tell the pastor. He goes, just hold on. Brother, sister, talk to this kid. I'm like, what? I'm like, what is going on? He goes, come up here. He said, what happened? Tell him what happened. I go, pray for God's house. And he goes, you are kidding. No. He said, I go, really? Why? He goes, we have been praying about this. The state has threatened with eminent domain to literally run a highway or a road right through this man's house. And he was going to lose it all. Hey, God, you're God. You're God, God. All right, I'm man. It just doesn't always make sense to us. And let me tell you all something, okay? If somebody comes up to you 3 or 4 times and they say something that doesn't make sense when they're praying for you, all right, I understand. But if somebody comes up and they're really trying to pray for you and maybe they're not exactly on, just have patience. They're trying. You know what I mean? Because we're looking through a glass darkly, you know? I'm not talking about confusion. Somebody just going around and playing, I pray for your house, I pray for your house, I pray for your house. I'm not talking about confusion, right? But if somebody's really sincerely, right, I give people a little bit of grace. You know what I mean? Because we're human. I'm just glad that people are trying to stretch their faith. That we should encourage that. We're so afraid of being judged for making a mistake. Me included, you know. What if I pray for them? What if they get mad? What if they, you know, you can ask them, say, would you be comfortable if I prayed for you? All right, and they say, I'm going to pray what I feel. It might make sense, it might not. Here we go. Lord, right now. And you pray for what you feel. So good. But we have to stretch our faith. Who can tell me a time when you, somebody stretched their faith in here and it worked out? Can you tell me a story, a testimony? Has anything God's done for somebody? Open dialogue here, by the way.
Pray for somebody else or something.
Something like maybe you were involved in, you pray for somebody, I'm just believing, and or something God did because you prayed, didn't. Yes.
I can think of times in my life where somebody has prayed for me. Maybe they didn't know what I was going through, but they stepped out and said something to me that was like so on target. It was exactly what I needed. That helped me stay the course and stay in the church and live for God, continue to live for God. So, like, maybe somebody else has been inspired and helped me.
That's good. Yeah.
He was someone who came up to me. Mm-hmm. And they were from our church. They were a person of God. When I was 20-some years ago, when I was going to start my business, they came up to me and said, Brother Bone, I don't know what this means, but God told me that you've been praying about something. He's going to give it to you just the way that you've asked. And because there was some things I was asking God for, he said, and he'll bless it more than you can imagine. And this person had no clue what it meant, but it meant everything to me.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Sister Kennedy has done that with me. She came up to me one night, wanted to talk. Like she usually does, but she told me a dream I had and what it meant.
Wow. Sister Dainsworth, I won't pick on you too much here, but when you, her guys got really big. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, when you felt called to come here, is that something you and your husband both at the same time, or?
We both, more him than me. I just thought we would be in Missouri not till he died, but and he did too. And but we both started feeling just like a rift, I guess, in the spirit realm too, not just physically and emotionally what was going on at the time and at our church, but we kind of just felt like a release, I guess, from that, from the church, from the city. And neither one of us said anything to each other for a while. And then finally he was like, okay, I don't feel like this is where we need to be anymore. I'm going to put the house up for sale. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, we bought this piece of property with money. You know, it was our money. we built our house. It was our sweat and tears that went into this house. And I was like, this is my house. I don't want to sell my house. And he was like, well, we're going to. There's going to be a lot of people that are not going to understand what's going on. He said, even I don't even understand right now what's going on, but we're going to sell it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then when he said, you know, we're going to resign our church. And I'm like, where are we, what are we going to do? I don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? You know, women, they want stability and, yeah. And I definitely don't like change. And he was like, I don't know. God's going to lead us and guide us. And he's always had big faith. I've always had little faith. And over the years, the first several years of our marriage, I guess I didn't trust that faith that he had. But
that's cool.
Over the years, I've learned to trust that faith that God has given him, and he's also given it to me. So I trusted him and followed him wherever he wanted to go. So it was just a few months later that God, we had to get rid of some things. You know, there was a cost to that. Stepping out in faith.
Amen.
I mean, he always supplied. We never went without. And he led us to where we needed to be. Here.
We're glad you're here.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you all this. Don't be afraid. God is in control. Let's dismiss in real prayer real fast, if that's okay. Thank you, Sister Dinkler. Lord, we thank you for the chance, God, to learn about your word, God. God, help us, God, to stretch our faith, Lord, to be bold, God, and not walk in fear, but walk in faith and perfect love. We thank you for the word today. We thank you for the testimonies, Lord, and we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.